We've defended other nations' borders while leaving ours wide open. Anybody can come in. Oh, we're going to build the wall. Don't worry about it. We're building the wall. We're building the wall. In fact, it's going to start soon. Way ahead of schedule. Way ahead of schedule.
Racist, mean-spirited, anti-immigrant, pandering to white nationalists. We in progressive blue communities have a few pretty strong opinions about Trump's wall. And people who support the wall, they must be racist, ignorant, anti-immigrant. People with no empathy for others trying to find the American dream. Right? Right? This is Out of My Own Bubble, and I'm Leanne Yu. In today's episode, we're going to get out to Trump country and ask his supporters, what do you think of the wall? I mean, okay, not the extremist white nationalist tiki torch holding guys. Yeah, we know what they think already. But what do common sense Trump voters actually think? Like, really think, you know, beyond 140 characters and beyond the first few things they're supposed to say? Like, what if we listen a little bit longer and give them a chance to explain themselves? What is their rationale for supporting the wall? Will they kind of stick to the same script that Trump has given them? Or will there be some things that surprise us, those of us who hate the wall? Okay, so it's Monday night in St. Bernard's Parish, Louisiana. And Monday night means it's a rice and beans night with the Landry family. Now, make no mistake, this is a Trump-loving family. But there's shrimp creole and red velvet cake on the table, so I'm pretty set, and I'm ready to listen.
I like the idea of the wall, not to keep, you know, people, I think, misconstrue the whole idea of the wall.
That's Britton, a lab technician and a regular at Rice and Beans Night.
Building a wall, I don't think that it's to prevent different cultures from being in America. It's to provide jobs for the citizens who are citizens, just that. You know, if you want to, just like every other country, if you want to live in our country, become a citizen, do it the right way, apply for citizenship, get that, you know, pay taxes. There are so many illegal immigrants who are coming to America and working and not paying taxes, and they're getting all of the benefits, welfare, Social Security, all of these benefits that it's taken away from us.
Wowza. Okay, there's a lot to unpack in what Britton just said, and a lot that's just factually wrong. But in the interest in trying to get inside her reasoning and understand her perspective, I think what it comes down to is this idea of fairness, right? So there's this perception that undocumented immigrants don't pay taxes, and yet they're drawing from the social system. So that's unfair, and that's Britton's point.
I'm all in favor of Trump with the immigrants. Building a wall, and regulating the people to come into this country.
That's Larry Landry, the patriarch of the family, and you guessed it, another wall fan.
The immigrants that are here, I don't want to ship them back. It's this country was built on immigrants. But let's give them all a Social Security number, and if you're working, let's start paying, let them pay taxes. That's what's hurting us, and that's what's killing us, and I think that's what he means. Because, a guy who comes from Mexico, he'll work, you know, and then, you know, if he gets hurt, he goes to our hospitals. He has kids. We pay his kids are Americans now. Plus, we're paying for all the medical costs and everything. So, you know, it's just undercutting the whole system. So, give the guys a Social Security. You want to come to our country? You're here now. Stay. Okay, good. Stay here. That's fine. But now that you're working, we're going to give you a Social Security. Now you start paying your taxes, just like everybody else is paying their taxes.
Wow, I was surprised by where Larry went with his argument. I thought he was going to kind of rail on immigrants, but he went down this path, which is the natural outcome of the argument that Britton started, in that, you know, you shouldn't be able to stay unless you pay taxes. Well, where Larry took it was, well, then let's give them a Social Security number so they can pay taxes and they can stay. I like that. I can get behind that. Next, I visit with Don in Jackson County, Mississippi. Don's a retiree, was a really successful entrepreneur, and believes in the wall.
That wall, I believe, needs to be done. It needs, every country has to have a border. Every country needs that. Otherwise, you are not a country. You're, what are you then? You're a catch-all?
You know, those of us who are anti-wall and pro-immigrant rights assume that a lot of the people who are for the wall just have not had any really good one-on-one interactions with Latinos or other immigrants. But that was actually not the case with Don. In fact, he and his wife's homes were destroyed multiple times by multiple hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico, and he's actually hired and worked with undocumented immigrants.
They were in my house. I could go out for lunch and leave them in the house when they were here working, and I trusted that they wouldn't take anything. They're good people.
What do you think should happen to them? Like, they are here illegally, so, and I think Trump has talked about that. For you, what would make the most sense?
For me, I say let them stay. Fix it so that they can stay. If they have a track record of, they've had jobs, they've had work, they've been here, you know, they're not some kind of rabble. They don't steal cars. They don't sell drugs. Let them stay. They've been here. They did come illegally. That's true. And it's a horrible thing. But at least if we stop that from happening, we won't have to make those heart-wrenching decisions about, okay, you broke the law. You have a wife and kid that's been here with you. They didn't do anything. You got to go. But what's going to happen to them? They're all good people. They've been here for 15 years. They are illegal. And they told me they were illegal. They have no green cards. But they're working on it. But the enormity of getting a green card for a guy who's making 10 bucks an hour, the legal fees are astronomical. And the crap that they have to go through, the language barrier that they, you know, the guy speaks English, of course, the lawyer does, but he panders down to this guy as long as he pays him the money. 6 months, come back in 6 months. I mean, I've heard that from so many of them.
Listening to Don just made me realize how extremist we've become, that if you're pro-wall, that it automatically means you're anti-immigrant. If you're against the wall, it means you are empathetic towards immigrants. But Don embodied kind of both sides in what he was saying. I mean, he believes in the wall, but he has real kind of tangible day-to-day experiences with the plight of undocumented immigrants, and he's seen firsthand how they get taken advantage of. Next, I head over to Missouri, where I'm visiting with Joe and Sue Galmish. They've got this beautiful place right by the Lake of the Ozarks, and Joe's retired from the military, and their community is pretty obviously pro-Trump. There's quite a few Make America Great Again signs still lingering around. There's a Confederate flag about a mile away from their home. And there's actually one woman just down the street with a little bit of a claim to fame.
This gal here used to be a Miss
Morning.
Missouri.
Morning.
Used to be a what?
Morning.
She used to be Miss Missouri.
Miss Missouri.
No way.
Yep. I don't know what year, but she was Miss Missouri.
All right.
She lives right there in that little house. She's always working, doing something in her yard.
So it's not hard to notice. I'm the only non-white person around. I don't see any other people of color. And so I ask the Galmishes, are there any people of color in your community in this whole area?
I saw one jet skiing last night.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
He's probably a visitor. And you won't find any Mexicans. Very few Mexican families here. They're probably workers. A lot of them are landscape business and that kind of stuff. Very few on this side of the lake that I've seen. The other side of the lake, yes.
Maybe not few people who look like me either, huh?
No.
Yeah.
You're right.
Oriental. The other, well, the not locally that live here, but come out of Kansas City. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see very many?
So even though Sue and Joe live in a pretty homogenous neighborhood now, they were once an RVing couple. They had this really cool, ginormous RV that they showed me that they drove all around the U.S. and they settled for a while in Northern California. So when they think about the experience of undocumented immigrants, they're really drawing from their experience around the U.S. and especially in California.
You can apply and come in legally. Okay, and go the system, but you just don't jump across the border and then take any job you can and claim you're an American, because you're not, okay? You need to come in like all the early Americans did who immigrated across the country and went through Paris Island, New York, the whole shebang, okay? Apply legally and push it. Just don't jump in. You are not guaranteed stuff, okay? It's not a right that you get a driver's license. No, that's a privilege. That mindset of the world can come here and you get stuff. And then when you come here, you can make here whatever it is you want it to be. No, you must assimilate. It's not as if America is number one. No, it's Mexico is number one. USA America, is where I get all my stuff from and ship it back home. They just want America, the bennies.
The benefits being the way whatever. Of life, the whatever it is.
I asked them, well, should we just close our borders and not let any immigrants in anymore? And I assumed a certain kind of answer from them. But what they actually say surprises me.
We need those people. There's no doubt in my mind.
Americans are lazy. They don't want to work for those low wages.
Even up where we lived in Yuba City.
They'd rather get the bennies, the free benny on their cards.
Yuba City, Kiwi Capital, peach, almonds. Walnuts, all that, they have a ton of workers out in the fields.
And even the East Indians, who own all those orchards, or hire these guys, because they can't get Americans to get off their ass because they're sitting home on their EBT card watching TV eating munchies.
Wow, okay, for me, that kind of came out of nowhere. Like, one minute, I feel like they're bashing immigrants, but on the other, they're talking them up as hard workers and, actually bashing American workers in the same breath. So, do you think that immigrants are stealing Americans' jobs?
I don't believe they're stealing any jobs. I believe Americans are letting them take those jobs because they're staying at home on their ass instead of going out there applying for work. One, they don't want to apply. One, they don't know how to apply. They don't know how to dress. They don't know how to pull their pants up. They don't know how to put clean clothes on.
So far I've been talking to a lot of white people about the potential fate of brown people in the United States. So for my last interview, I'm coming back home all the way to San Francisco and talking to Phil. Phil's 25 years old, and he's different from the other Trump voters I've talked to. He's Filipino-American, and he's a Republican, and he grew up in San Francisco, and he's cute, like really cute, kind of in a hipster way, and he's really well-dressed. I know. I couldn't believe it either. Because he's such a unicorn to me, I had to ask, what happens when you travel or go to places that are sort of truly Trump country, outside of San Francisco? How do people react to you?
I would say, because I've been to the South before, and it's not necessarily that the race, I would say that I experience racism, but rather they don't know how to kind of act around me because there's not a lot of me around there. So I guess there's that Southern charm of hospitality, but they just don't know how to react or treat me properly. Like some of them thought, I remember someone thinking that I was a Muslim.
Well, you've got the beard.
Yeah. But and it's like, that's pulled pork, but I don't think you would eat that. But so I was like, no, I'm Filipino. I'm a Catholic. I'm Christian. Oh, I was like, okay. So there's that certain level of people that just don't understand because they're just not necessarily, they don't enjoy the diversity of the coasts.
So I have this assumption growing up in San Francisco that if you're Asian American, if you're a person of color, you're going to stand up for the rights of other people of color. So I asked Phil, well, do you agree with Trump that the Dreamers should get kicked out of the country?
I would not kick them out. I would not kick them out because they this is all that they know. One of my best friends is a Dreamer, and he owns a restaurant. So I think he does well. So I don't think it's fair to necessarily kick them out, but I would, for the Dreamers only, I would provide a pathway to citizenship. Now, where that kind of line of what's a Dreamer and who actually came here legally, because then there could be an argument that a 16-year-old is a Dreamer or something like that. That's up to political debate. I kind of don't want to get into that argument of where that line is. But for Dreamers, I would like to provide a pathway to citizenship because they know this country more than they know Philippines or Mexico or Germany or wherever country that they probably came from illegally.
So Phil's attitude towards Dreamers is really familiar to me. It's so blue city, blue community. Just based on that alone, I'd never imagined that he'd ever wear a Make America Great Again hat. By the way, he does have one. But then he goes on and he complicates that view.
Children of illegal immigrants or some illegal immigrants that actually come and try to go through the college system, or Dreamers for that matter, have access to financial aid that working working class citizens don't have access to. That's just, or not a necessary financial aid, but also social benefits like healthcare. Like if an illegal immigrant comes over, gets hurt, then our hospitals have to pay for it. We're not against Latinos. We're not saying that, you know, send them back to Mexico. We're just saying that they get certain things for free that we have to pay for.
Phil says that because of what people assume about him, given that he's a Bay Area native and he's a person of color, that when people find out he's actually a Trump supporter, it can get ugly.
Was it ironic to you that you know, a self-professed brown guy was being called racist?
Yeah, it really, it's kind of like, when I was called that, I don't think they knew what it meant. Like, I don't think they know what racist means or racism means when they say they just want to shoot out that word and give me a label or call me something in the book. And then it doesn't stick, then they'll call me something else. Because I think eventually, like, if you're not Islamophobic, homophobic, racist, sexist, bigoted, anti-transgender, then you must be one of those things. I mean, they'll just keep calling you things down the road until you are one of those things, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I don't agree with Phil's politics, but I do agree that there's a lot of name calling. And in our media inundated world, I mean, we're so used to resorting to clever tweets, snarky sound bites, you know, build the wall, lock her up, love Trump's hate. But traveling through the U.S. talking to Trump voters, and especially when I start to get angry and start to disagree with them, made me realize that we've got to continue practicing real conversations, and we've got to continue forcing ourselves to listen just a little bit longer, you know, just past the point where we just flip someone off or, you know, leave the room, because that's kind of the point where things start to get a little messy and contradictory. You know, that's actually where the good stuff comes out. I mean, there's Larry, right, in deep red Louisiana, who believes in the wall, but also wants to give all of the illegal immigrants social security numbers and make them legitimate taxpayers. And then I think of Don in Mississippi, who believes in the wall too, but has hired illegal immigrants and has this real deep empathy for how hard it is for them to get their green cards. And then there's Sue and Joe in Missouri who demand that immigrants assimilate. But at the same time, they talk about how immigrants embody the best of American values around hard work, even better than some Americans do. And then there's Phil, right, a diehard Trump supporter in blue San Francisco, whose best friend is a Dreamer. So even though there were so many points where I couldn't stand what I was hearing during some of my travels, I have to say, I actually came away more hopeful. I mean, there are these nuggets, these threads or hints or, I don't know, the something that we can come together around. And maybe we're not permanently fractured. As confident as Trump sounds when he's starting the chanting around build the wall, and how as frightening as it is for us in our blue corners of the world to hear or see these big crowds yell the same thing, I think the reality among Trump supporters is way more complex. And in that complexity, I take comfort. This is Out of My Own Bubble, and I'm Leanne Yu. Join me, a blue state, blue city girl, as we go into Trump territory, talk to his supporters, and challenge our own assumptions about them. This podcast was produced by myself and Heiko Satcher, with original music by Heiko Satcher.